Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Grimm by Amy Boyles, narrated by Michael Kirby. Chapter 1. In my line of work, there are two kinds of monsters. The first recognizes the evil buried deep in its heart. Those creatures unabashedly hurt and terrorize, relishing in the destruction and havoc that they wreak. Then there's the other kind of monster. This type is naive. Their minds are too simple to admit the truth to themselves, that their ugliness is supposed to run well below the surface. It's supposed to fill the cracks and hollows of their heart. They are supposed to maim and destroy, but for one reason or another, this species of creature shies away from the stereotype of what it's supposed to be. That was the sort of monster I was dealing with at this very moment. I sighed and glanced up. Sitting atop a highway billboard, its feet dangling over the side, swinging back and forth, was a creature with the body of a man and the head of a beast. Inky, bug-like eyes, long, pointy ears, horns erupting from its forehead. It looked half-man, half-goat, and was ugly as sin. I'd pulled my car off the road when I spied it, and now I sat, staring up at the creature. My dog, Savage, sat beside me. He whined, wondering how long we'd be stopped. I was beginning to wonder that, too. But the creature didn't look like he was going anywhere, and I had a habit of not wanting innocent bystanders to be killed and eaten by monsters. So, there I was. I sighed and shoved open the door. I'd been doing this sort of thing for a long time, hunting monsters. So I wasn't nervous. I wasn't worried. If anything, I was annoyed that this creature had interrupted my night. I shut the door and the monster's face snapped toward me. "Oh, you're getting out?" he called down. I grunted. I didn't like to engage the enemy with friendly conversation. "Maybe you could help me down," he called. I grunted again. Did he think I was stupid? I paused as my gaze roved over him. He had long arms and legs, like they'd been stretched on a torture device. But maybe he was just tall. His lengthy, alien-like eyes were dark and oily, completely inhuman, though I'm guessing he used to be human, same as me.
"Aren't you going to talk?"
"Not if I can help it," I replied. He chuckled.
"Oh, that's a good one. Listen, this is going to sound stupid, but I got stuck up here after chasing a squirrel. I was going to eat the little critter, but he got away from me, and now I'm stuck."
He opened his arms in a gesture that suggested he was giving up.
"I could use a little help."
I'd been at this job long enough to also know that if I was quiet, most monsters, those who could talk, would eventually hang themselves and reveal their true intentions of destruction. My silence must have done its job to unnerve him, because he quickly scrambled to add,
"I haven't always looked like this. I'm just like you, human. I was cursed, and now I only eat squirrels and other rodents. Please, I don't want to hurt anyone. I only want to come down."
I glanced back at my car and looked at Savage. He watched me with eyes glittering with interest. If only he could talk.
"Look, I won't harm you. I hate heights."
He glanced over the side of the billboard and groaned. His skin turned a sickly shade of green.
"I just want down. Wait, I know who you are."
Oh, no. Here it came. The moment when the monster put two and two together and decided that it would indeed try to kill me. Happened every time. He wagged a finger at me.
"You're Grimm, That's who you are. You're that monster hunter.
He ran his fingers down his gray hoodie.
You can just keep going. I might be ugly as death, but I'm not interested in being killed. I haven't harmed anyone, and I'm not planning on it. I was cursed. Do you hear me? Cursed to look like this. Some swamp witch hated me and did this to me.
I quirked a brow. Now that was interesting.
Did she also give you an appetite for squirrels?
No! What? I can't go into respectable society looking like this. I'll be shot.
Please. I just want down. Can you help me?
Maybe I was a sucker. Maybe I had more of a death wish than I originally thought. But I couldn't say no to good manners. I opened my fingers, and a ball of light flared in my palm.
Oh, you have magic too? Just please don't kill me.
I grunted and tossed out my magic like a rope. It coiled around the monster's waist. He howled in protest, but he was the one who wanted down. He didn't say how. Besides, beggars couldn't be choosers. With one good yank, I pulled the rope, and the monster fell to the ground with a thud. He landed a little harder than I'm sure he would have liked, but there was a pile of pine straw beneath him, created from years of needles falling off the surrounding trees. I pulled my magic back in, and the monster shook his head. He stared at me a moment, and then threw back his head and laughed.
That was awesome!
He rose and brushed off his dirty jeans.
I'll admit, you had me going there for a moment. I thought you were going to kill me just because I'm so ugly and obviously a monster, even though I don't want to be. But you didn't.
Grim, it's nice to meet you. My name's Matt.
My gaze flicked over him. This close, it was obvious that Matt was cursed. He wasn't born of monster stock. His ugliness was magic inflicted, though only those with magic themselves would have been able to tell. But to a human, Matt was hideous on the run for your life scale. To them, he was terrifying and worthy of shooting first and asking questions later. He extended his hand, and I stared at it a moment. The difference between Matt and a regular monster was that beasts weren't born cursed. They like to trick and fool, offer a hand so they can pull you in and bite your neck, give a sweet to child to lure it into a dark cave. But Matt, even though he was uglier than death, had a big, loping grin on his face. The kind that just reeked of, aw, shucks. I shook his hand, even though it was against policy. Cursed or not, Matt was ugly. And in the old days, his presence would have raised an army of farmers carrying pitchforks. I let my magic bite into his palm just enough to offer warning. He winced, and his smile faded just a touch. But then he laughed.
Oh, right. Once a monster hunter, always a monster hunter. I get it. Look, thanks for saving me. And as you can see, I'm sort of in need of a ride.
I grunted, though it might have come out more like a growl. Matt, the cursed monster, lifted his hands in surrender.
I understand. You want to be alone. But you can't let me stay around here looking like this. I'll scare half the town. And you'll have to come right on back from wherever you're going and pick me up. That's if I don't get killed first. You know how these southern dads are, so protective about their daughters. Every one of them's got a shotgun or a rifle. I'm from the Midwest and just passing through, but these hillbillies scare me.
Look, I don't eat people,
he stressed again.
Just small game, though I prefer takeout. So can you give me a ride?
As much as it was against protocol for me to give Matt a ride, it was even worse for me to leave a monster to its own wiles. Clearly, I couldn't harm him because he hadn't harmed me first. There was only one choice. You can come with me, but be warned. You even think of trying to hurt me, I'll beat you to it. Matt's dark eyes flared with worry.
Got it. Okay. You win. I won't harm you. I just need a ride.
Come on. You walk ahead of me. He did as I instructed. I opened my door. Savage, in back. My dog complied and Matt got in. Then I pointed the nose of the car to the road, and we drove on.
What brings you out here?
Matt said, obviously unable to shut up for longer than 30 seconds.
Don't you live at a lake?
When I remained mute, he added,
Oh, right. You must be monster hunting and can't tell me.
He pulled a harmonica from his pocket and began playing a short riff. Between bursts of melody, he peppered me with more questions.
If you tell me what kind of monster you're hunting, I may be able to help you. I've seen some out here. They're few and far between, I'll admit. But not when you're a monster yourself. It's easier to know what to look for.
I'm not looking for a monster. He perks up.
Oh, on vacation? Where are you headed? Obviously not the beach because you're not going south.
Not on vacation either. I felt Matt's bug eyes gaze on me.
Are you off to find your lady love? Maybe rendezvous with her?
I ignored him, hoping he'd shut up. But my silence apparently made Matt that much hungrier for the truth, because he latched on to that bit of conversation like a tick on a dog.
I'm sure she's beautiful. Does she know you're coming to visit?
When I didn't answer, he said,
Oh, it's a surprise. I see. Listen, before I look like this, I loved to bake. I'd be happy to bake you a cake to celebrate, or maybe some cookies. Wait, you look like a keto type of guy. Don't think that I didn't notice those muscles. I could do keto too.
I don't do keto. He deflated.
Well, too bad, because I have a great carrot cake recipe that's keto.
He paused and sniffed the air.
Do you smell something? There's another monster smell in here. Did you catch a whiff of it?
I pulled my jacket closer and gruffly replied, You're the only monster here.
Right. Gotcha. I'm so glad you found me, because I was honestly afraid a regular person would first, and then they'd kill me.
He hung his head.
You don't know how many times I've barely escaped being killed. Everyone wants a little adventure in their lives, but when I show up looking like this, they don't want adventure anymore. They just want me dead. I only kissed her daughter,
Matt said, pain ebbing off him.
All I did was kiss her, and this was what she did to me.
Do you know how to break the curse? I asked. His face snapped up.
Break it?
I rolled my eyes. This was Curses 101. If you're cursed, there has to be a way to break it. Or so I'd always believed, up until a few weeks ago. Matt exhaled a loud sigh.
She did say something about sacrifice. I don't know.
He pointed to his face.
Isn't this enough of a sacrifice? To look like this?
Maybe. Maybe not. My phone beeped, alerting me to rough weather ahead, and Matt's gaze darted to where it sat on the console.
Oh, is that your wife? Girlfriend?
I gritted my teeth. When my phone chimed, a picture flared on the screen. It was of Paige, but that was none of Matt's business. I grabbed the phone and glanced at her picture briefly. Long brown hair, big chocolate-colored eyes, a smile that was like looking at a sunrise, before I shoved it into my pocket.
You don't want to talk about her? I get it. Love can be painful. Look at me. I'm the walking embodiment of that sentiment.
I kept quiet, and Matt returned to playing the harmonica. The sun had just set, and darkness was creeping over the horizon fast. I turned off the highway and onto a two-lane road. Matt took note and sat up. He pointed to a sign off the tarmac. On it was a picture of a small town straight from the Middle Ages, complete with a looming brick castle. He exhaled a low whistle.
I didn't know we were close to Castleview. Have you heard about this place?
That's where they built that whole town to look like a medieval village, including a castle. And they built it outside of Nashville, he chuckled. I heard that billionaire Aaron Strickland bought the castle and lives there.
Won't let anyone see him. It's like he's a vampire. Do you think he's a vampire?
Matt wasn't deterred by my lack of response.
They say Aaron once bought a golden cow. Why would you buy a golden cow?
It was a point about worshipping money. Matt exhaled a note from his harmonica. The sound hung in the air, sagging sadly until it died.
I would worship money.
There are more important things. We passed another sign for the village, and Matt sat up, seeming to realize something.
Are we going there?
It's where I'm going, I told him.
You can't just throw me out.
As much as I hated to admit it, he was right. I'd plucked the monster from a billboard, and now he was my responsibility. I glanced over and wondered if we could do something about his appearance, though. I hadn't worked glamour magic in a long time. It wasn't my forte. But I couldn't exactly introduce Matt looking the way that he did. Or perhaps I could. We crested a hill, and deep down in the valley below, I spotted a village. Thatched roof houses sat under pools of light created by lamps that burned brightly. In the center of the houses sat a ring of shops. A road wound through the buildings and up onto a hill. At the very top sat the castle. Spotlights secured to the ground splashed amber light onto the castle, showcasing the circular drive and the tall double doors. A sudden flash of pain seared down my chest. I gritted my teeth and took the exit for Castleview. The road was open on both sides at first, but very quickly, trees clustered at the edges, hugging us close. They were so thick there was barely a sliver of sky above us. When the trees finally opened up, the village lay before us, like something out of a storybook or a fairy tale. I hated fairy tales. Keep your head down, I told Matt. He didn't argue, but peered out over the lip of the door to sneak a peek at the town. People milled along the sidewalks, lazily walking to their destinations. There was no need to hurry here, not in this storybook town. I spotted a bakery, coffee shop, hardware store, all the essentials a small town needed to thrive. And the shops were open. Warm, golden light burned behind leaded glass windows. Gaslit sconces flickered on either side of doors, hewn from thick wood that was rounded at the top.
Charming, Matt said. I could live here.
From this distance, the castle looked more like a church, but I knew better. It was certainly no church. Aaron lived here. I just hoped he was in town. A semicircular drive hugged the front of the castle. I parked and turned off the engine. You can sit up now. Matt rose and slipped his harmonica into his pocket. He stared up at the castle.
That is awesome. I could definitely live here.
Wait, I told him.
What?
I grabbed his wrist and magic flared. It sent a sharp pain straight to my heart, but I fought it.
What are you doing?
Matt said, with fright burning in his inky eyes. Making you look presentable, in case we run into any humans. He calmed then, and my magic trickled over his body. When it was done, he looked normal-ish. His eyes were still large, but they were blue, and his ears had shrunk as well as his horns. That's better. Matt flipped down the mirror and touched his face.
I look amazing, How long will this last? Please say forever.
Not long. A few hours. Better than nothing. I glanced up at the castle just as a finger of lightning cracked above it. For a moment, the building glowed, revealing grotesque gargoyles with gaping mouths and long, razor-sharp teeth towering above us. Come on, I told Matt. Let's see if anyone's home. Chapter 2.
May I help you?
The butler asked. I assumed it was a butler because his gray hair was slicked back and he wore an ebony tuxedo with tails to answer a door. My name's Grimm. I would like to speak with Aaron. He knows me. I felt Matt's prickly stare before I heard him say in an awestruck voice,
You know Aaron Strickland?
The butler's piercing gaze swept over me, Matt in his hoodie, and Savage. If he saw through the glamour, which anyone with magic could do, and noticed that Matt was a cursed monster, or spotted Savage's wings under the dog coat he wore, it didn't show on the butler's face. Being the butler to a wizard billionaire probably exposed him to a lot of strange situations, I imagine. Wait here, Jeeves told us. As soon as he was out of earshot, Matt whirled on me.
You know Aaron Strickland? How did I not know that? Why didn't you tell me?
I gave him a cold stare. Because I've only just met you, and you're a monster.
But I'm also human, and doesn't that mean I deserve answers?
No, I told him in a frosty voice.
Listen, if we're to be a team, I need to know these things about you.
I didn't respond. Matt didn't seem to notice. He kept talking as I took in the scenery. It was impossible to know what decor the movie studio had left and what Aaron had purchased himself. Several knights in armor were butted up against the walls. They looked official, as if Aaron had borrowed them from Buckingham Palace. A red tapestry hung from the brick, depicting a hunting scene. Glass lights flickered along the walls, and a large curved staircase flowed down from the second floor. A smooth stone railing ran the length of the landing, and behind that, pressed into the stone, lay a rose window, the sort that was built into old cathedrals. The glass was painted with a scene from a forest, great roping vines with thick leaves unfurling into deep ruby-red hibiscus blossoms that hummingbirds drank from. If I hadn't known any better, I would have said the castle was enchanted. But even Aaron, gold cow and all, wouldn't waste his magic on something so trivial. Matt was still talking.
And then we can travel the world to get...
Grimm! Exploded a voice laced with a loud southern drawl. My friend! Aaron strode down the hallway with his arms open wide. The belt of his silk bathrobe flew out behind him. He embraced me in a welcoming hug and gave me a friendly pat on the back. It's been too long, and I see you brought Savage. Savage stepped out from behind me, and Aaron scratched his ear. Aaron turned to Matt, and the monster nearly collapsed into a pool of mush. He took Aaron in. Gelled hair that was brushed to one side, perfect white teeth, sharp brown eyes, and bed clothing made of silk. Matt's eyes became wide as plates.
It's an honor to meet you.
This is Matt, I grunted. Aaron shook his hand.
Y'all are welcome here to my home, Aaron said in a stretched, languid voice. We won't eat supper for an hour, but you're welcome to join us, both of y'all.
I can play the harmonica,
Matt told him proudly.
It's been ages since anyone's brought entertainment. We would love that, Aaron said in the warm voice of a businessman always looking to make a new deal.
Johnson, he pointed to the butler. So, His name wasn't Jeeves after all. Please show Matt to his room.
I get a room?
Repeated Matt with wonder. Unless you need to leave, Aaron said with a laugh. But it's getting late, and there's plenty of space for guests.
I get a room,
Matt repeated as he followed Johnson to a different wing of the castle. Aaron surveyed me once we were alone. Trouble brimmed in his eyes. It's been a long time. I assume there's something wrong. Why assume that? He laughed. Grim. We parted on bad terms. A dark shadow crept over his face, but as quickly as it appeared, it vanished. Come. Let's catch up. He clasped a hand to my shoulder and led me down a door-lined corridor. Most of them were shut, but one sat open. That's the one that Aaron and I slipped into. Please, sit. We'd stepped into the castle's quintessential library. Leather-bound books lined every square inch of the wall. A fire crackled cheerfully in a hearth that was as tall as my 6 feet, and two wing-back chairs sat before it, facing one another. Aaron sat in the chair facing the door and pointed to a crystal decanter filled with brown liquid sitting on the table beside him. Bourbon? I shook my head. No thanks. Aaron hefted one leg over the other and clasped a hand to his ankle. You don't look well, Graham. I'm not, I admitted, sitting. The chair cushion was soft and bent to my weight, letting me sink deep onto it. My face must have shown surprise because Aaron grinned. Nice, isn't it? You know it is. Aaron nodded. I have a lot of money so I can afford the best things. It's not easy being a tech genius and a wizard. And Southern on top of that. It just gets people's goats. When I knew you, you were mostly wizard. Aaron shrugged as if that was unimportant. He gestured to the books surrounding us. I've used my wealth to amass the largest collection of books on magic ever known to mankind. At least, I think so. I knew this already. It's impressive. Aaron studied me a moment, his gaze narrowing in suspicion. I'm surprised that you'd ever talk to me again, given what happened. I quirked a brow. The past is in the past. Is it, really? He smoothed a hand over his slick hair that looked polished under the flickering gas lamps. I try to steal your girlfriend and you forgive me, just like that. If it makes you feel any better, she tried to kill me. Ah! Aaron leaned back, his eyes twinkling with delight. I'm not sure I liked the glee on his face, but I kept my mouth shut. So, that's what happened. I knew there was a bit of monster in her. His expression became pensive, and he added quietly, Perhaps that's why I was drawn to her. Perhaps. Both of us knew that wasn't true. Aaron always liked a good challenge. It was the competitive nature in him. A person didn't become a billionaire by resting on their laurels. Yet that's not why you're here, he said. My mouth quirked. No, it isn't. You're right. I'm not well. He nodded to the decanter. Sure you don't want a glass? Don't let me stop you. The brown liquid sloshed into a glass tumbler as Aaron poured it 3 fingers deep. I guessed he knew what was coming next. This wouldn't be a light-hearted conversation. He flicked his hand, gesturing me to tell all. I took a deep breath and prepared to bare my soul. I was attacked. His gaze skated over me. So, you're still in the monster hunting business? You would be too if you hadn't developed technology to find.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?